Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
I believe identity is someone who you are as a person, as a community member, as a human being. Umbrella concept is the humanitarian way of looking, support that we provide, that Aotearoa New Zealand provides, unlike other countries.
New name, same scars, fresh start. Some nights heavy, some nights bright. We carry whole homes in our minds. Talk it out, let it breathe. Every voice has something to teach. Between two worlds.
You're a final welcome to another podcast from this series of podcasts we are having, Between Two Worlds. I'm excited to have a guest here in the studio, which we will together and find out who he is and what he do, and also have a quarter about some interesting topics we have today. How I pronounce your name? Devon.
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 Devon, yes.
Correct. All right. Yeah. Devon, Devon, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes,
Devon, how are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, good. Great. And thanks for having me today.
Your day been well?
Podcast. Yeah, so far, yeah. Awesome. Doing well, enjoying, yeah, life.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to have this conversation with you, Kōrero. I want to start, this is how I do it with all the guests. Yeah. If I give you the mic, how you would love to introduce yourself?
Kia ora everyone. Thank you for inviting me and this golden opportunity to present myself and this podcast. So originally from Bhutan, came to New Zealand in 2008 on a refugee quota. So since then I've been living in Palmy here. So as a person, as a hobby, I love sports and music. That's sports. A snapshot of me who I am.
So you love sports, is that rugby or?
Oh, well, I mean, I started with cricket. Okay. But but it's a long time. I mean, I haven't had hands-on with cricket, but I just as a hobby.
Nice, awesome. Hobby. Very welcome. Thank you. And so we are doing this topics about to do a little bit mental health awareness, especially from people by refugee migrant backgrounds who settled here in New Zealand. Because we know we have different perspective, different experiences around this. But before I go deep dive into these questions, how was your journey since your settlement and here, how it's going for you in Palmerston North?
As I said, I came in 2008 on a refugee quota. So it was, the journey as such, a refugee journey as such for everyone is quite challenging in various ways. In my case, spent 17 years in a refugee camp in Nepal after leaving Bhutan when I was 8 years old. So and that has always been lacking. The life was full of lacks and the hardships. So coming to New Zealand has given me an opportunity to sort of see things differently. And also with lots of the advantages that come along with me, and then take it from there. So journey has benefited me in personally and also professionally, to be honest.
My awesome, welcome, doing great. This journey, been 17 years, right?
Yes, 17 plus years. 17 been plus in New Zealand. Yeah,
great. So that. Today's topic, I want to have a conversation with you about one of them is two themes. We can start with the identity and belonging. So after all these years now for you being here, so if someone asks you what is identity for you, what is belonging, how do you answer such a question?
Yeah, great question. Different people, different, they have their own perspective and also the point of view of looking at identity. To me, I believe identity is someone who you are as a person, as a community member, as a human being. So that carries a lot behind you, who you, as a person. As I said, if you look at through Tangata Whenua, sort of, you know, te ao Māori perspective, that is about looking at the whakapapa, your ancestor, genealogy, who you are. So to me, as my cultural background as well, we see our, my identity as in a similar way. So,
right.
And also, but also carrying the personal values along the way.
Right.
So
do you see a lot of similarity between your culture and Tangata Whenua culture?
Yes, there's lots of similarity. We worship sort of three aspects of life: water,
physical, spiritual,
water, air, and also the heat, fire.
Right.
So we have that three cornerstone of life. So lots of similarity.
Right.
So that's also carrying the personal values and who you are as a person.
Beautiful. And how that, you think, because you're having such a similar culture, have helped you to belong to the country?
Yes, it definitely has helped me personally to be welcomed and feel belonged to this country. Definitely does help, as I just explained to you before about the identity and cultural belongings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. That's cool. So, even in your experience, while your professional, I think you deal with many resettlement communities and different cultures. So, how do you see that belonging? It's happening in New Zealand. Do you feel people, do they belong because there's a similar culture, or do they have a bigger community? Have you any understanding about this belonging? How it work here?
I see from that side, it could be through the humanitarian aspect of it, especially my work that relates to mostly working with former refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an element of also cultural side of it, and but also mostly around this is its umbrella concept is the humanitarian way of looking,
right.
Support that we provide, that Aotearoa New Zealand provides, unlike other countries.
So with that, I want to move to this question, which is the mental health.
Mm.
If I ask you maybe straight away question about what is mental health, how you define it, your way, in your culture, understanding.
That's another great question. So mental health, I mean, I'm not an expert in mental health, what I perceive and what I see mental health is any other health condition. Physically, we see people, some people getting physically hurt, we can see that that person or particular injury. But for the mental health, it's difficult to see from the exterior sort of the eyes. So
right.
I think that's really big topic, and it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging that's happening in the community. Yeah.
Right. So that topic of mental health. So now if I talk about two environments, the home environment and outside environments, what language do you speak in home?
Oh, I speak Nepali.
Right.
I speak Nepali at home, but also sometimes I speak Hindi.
Mm-hmm.
My house in a hospital we have a multicultural
family
dynamics. Right. So few other languages who I always speak, yeah.
Great. So between that multicultural family home environment, and when you go out, that you maybe you speak mainly English with the society.
Yeah.
How you navigate these two worlds?
It's all about the processing. What's happened, translating, and then, and also there's a cultural side of culture as well also plays that big role. So my cultural family culture and how I take that to outside my family. So yeah, it's very, sometimes it gets really a bit challenging. But as I said, it's 17, 18 years of experience living in New Zealand that has, sometimes it goes like this, sometimes it takes time to, you know, adjust in the society.
Right. So even in your experience, you've been quite time here. Have you faced any challenges or any stress about identity and belonging? Any situation, let's call them racism or bullying? Did anyone ask you any question about identity, that where you come from, something here?
No, to be honest, I haven't had a sort of a I haven't got that confrontational situation.
Why?
I have faced about the identity and belongings. But I have worked with few of my fellow mates and also clients. I've heard a lot from them. Mm-hmm. About being harassed, being bullied, discriminated. So I have come across that a lot.
Right.
But also that sometimes that impacts my mental health as well. Coming from experiencing that intergenerational trauma.
Yeah.
And sometimes it becomes very difficult to cope up with.
That's right.
But again, coming from that resilient background, that goes off easily.
So I can relate this to when you hear stories, you want to try to support someone here, so you feel inside too much pain, too much sin. But because when we also when you try just to understand the system, which is kind of, we struggle how to support it, because you want to, but it's kind of, it's sometimes you have a limit until how much you can support this. So when you have working in such a sector thing, so how you balance your mental health when you, let's say, hear or work with someone who is going through a lot of deep issues that need support and help? And you mentioned it, you can think about things. So how you balance that when you turn back into home? How you manage your mental health in such a situation?
So as a social worker, that's how we were trained, and also that's how I practice in everyday or personal, and balancing between personal and professional life.
Right.
So I always put a boundary. So there's a working time from 9 to 5, that's work. So after 5, that's completely out of my work laptop. I put my work laptop phone away. So there's a little bit of a element of balancing between personal and professional. So sometimes it gets a bit tricky, but if that comes along, I normally do my self-care tips and techniques, going for a walk, things like that, going for a gym, listening to music, listening to podcasts like this one, what we are here today.
Great, that's a good element. So in this one, before I move into the second theme, that we can a little bit talk more, what will be your message here if someone who's listening or watching to this podcast, especially about around this topic about identity and belonging, what message you want to send them?
The message that I think I would like to pass on to the viewers and listeners as about it's all about the world is all about yourself. Think about prioritize yourself first, and maintain your self-care, also don't forget your identity, where you come from, don't forget your roots. That's what you lead a long way. So
right, beautiful message.
Thank you.
I think that make a nice way to jump into the second theme, which is about silence and the shame and cultural stigma around mental health. Maybe this came more into your working and dealing with many stories that you hear, which a lot of students. So do you think people from refugee migrants, what is their biggest stigma or common things that we face when we come here?
Yeah, I mean, as a personal experience that when I first came, it was always big culture shock for me, and I believe it is the same for everyone. Culture shock, and also I would say the language differences, and you know how people perceive each other's opinion. That's another big factor that people would believe they would think. And also the socio-environmental, the differences that they kind of come across in everyday life, and also the services that are available, but not aware of where to reach out.
Right.
So did I answer it correctly?
It is. I mean, this you're giving an experience.
Yeah.
Answer here, which is, and I think, do you think that we do play a role, like as a community, as a community leaders, people, to answer those kind of stigma, or to try tell the society about those stigmas that has been put on us while not reflect the experience of migrant, if it's clear the question? What I mean here, like, you know, the stigma we face, like for example, one of them, it's former refugees.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in benefits. They're all like trauma based. That kind of things has been told the society.
Mm-hmm.
They only think when someone hear you're from refugee background, that's what they come to their mind. That's problem, because they don't think about how many language we speak.
Yeah.
They don't think about the strength we bring to the table.
Yeah.
They don't think the other side of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this is what also I think sometimes make a problems to our way to develop, to resettle, to integrate with the society, so we can develop. So that's what I've been asking about, those kind of, if there's any stories around there, and what will be, from your experience and even cultural background, because you're expert in your culture, what is could be something you would advise this service provider that when they hear about someone is coming from former refugees, do not judge them, do not think. What kind of advice, if I can say, you would give them?
Yeah, so as a former refugee, when I first came, when I first arrived, it used to call called as a working income rather than Ministry of Social Development, which is named after a few. It's a few years back now. So I think not only working income, but also any other service providers, I think it's really good for everyone, not only service providers, for everyone to know that they are refugee background. They have a lot on their plate in terms of their experience and what the challenges they have faced. They didn't choose to come to New Zealand, but they didn't have any other choice, but to come here and then have a peaceful life. So I mean, it's really important for them to understand their journey.
Absolutely.
They may not be able to express, but as you just said before about their strength, they come with lots of resilience and strength within them. So maybe it might take a few years, a few months for them to give back to the community. But as just like you and myself and few other refugee background who are contributing back to the community, so just a matter of time. And also being passionate about, and also approaching them very gently, you know. So, it's lots of traumatic experience they have come across.
Right, it's great message for everyone. Be kind.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes, that's kindness. Kindness is the only message that we need at this current time of.
Absolutely. So then when I want to move, I think maybe I have one or two questions for this one. It's about, you know, you may hear a lot of people who came from refugee, they feel shame. When I say this, I hear this some stories because of the label, because of some people, they don't like to call themselves former refugee. I want to ask you about, have you had faced any such a people who can tell you like that? If there is such a people, do you know the reasons, like they feel shame to not be called former refugees?
So, for refugees, I mean, we had discussed a lot about this in few years, meeting with some of the community members, community organizations meeting. So, that's correct that some former refugees have that, the feeling, the shame of sharing that that you belong to the former, refugee background. That's even with, not only with the communities, but also with the organization and service providers. Yeah. They sometimes intentionally and unintentionally, they use this word. Mm-hmm. So I have personally come across calling them refugees. But when we are in this country, Aotearoa, New Zealand, we are no more refugee. Yes. We are a permanent resident, and also some of us are already a citizen.
Right.
So in that case, we are refugee because that's why we are here.
That's the background.
That's the background. That's the background. So there's the same I have come across that. But I think, but at the time, as I said just before, with it's a matter of time, and then it goes slowly away. But especially with the young, I find this with the young generations, those who were born in the host country, because they don't know anything about the parents, where their parents were born, and then when they come here, they see themselves with other the youngsters. And then, and also I think it's a very sad to see how the social media portrays about the refugees, so they only portray about the hardship, they portray only about that. That is also putting lots of, the stress on young people, especially that's because I work with a lot of young people, that brings them that, refugees is the people, those who don't have shelter, no food. Of course, that is the truth. But however, but if you see on the flip side, of other side is they have lots of strength and resilience, just as I mentioned before.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's a problem because it's first the title that we didn't choose.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
situation
yes.
That they call
absolutely. Yes,
the,
yes.
And then
But however, every World Refugee Day, that's June 20th, because in the past, the number used to be very low. But however, now slowly that message is going back to the community saying that saying refugee, being refugee is not a curse.
Exactly. Like
it's just a boon, So,
yeah,
So I could personally see that the celebration, World Refugee Celebration, every year the numbers are going up slowly. So which means that there's a good acceptance from the wider communities, not only refugee community.
Exactly. Yes. More awareness. More acceptance. More welcome from the society.
Yes.
Actually, I think, especially Aotearoa, New Zealand, doing very well.
Absolutely.
In some degree, we do have our own issues, problem, but they are doing much better than some other countries.
Yeah. But there's no comparison here. But what I'm saying is also, Aotearoa is the only country who hosts refugees for 6 weeks in the Mangere.
Yeah.
So other countries, they don't have that sort of the provision and also they don't have that settings where they provide the orientation for 6 weeks, they do health checks and everything, but Aotearoa is the only country. Sorry.
That's good. That's the thing. Yeah. So there's a pros and cons.
Yes, like pros and cons. Absolutely. Like, yes, yes.
Because some people, I heard some people say, why they're putting out detention centers? But I think it's just about 6 weeks kind of orientation.
Yes.
teach them about how things will work here.
Yeah.
But of course, we also know that will not work in some degree. Because
yes, absolutely.
What do you remember in that 6 weeks? Absolutely. You just came in a country that
you're
excited, you're the same time warrior, both feelings,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
But it is, I think we do have a lot of good stuff, good intention, maybe you can say, from the both the government, the community who's been welcoming to our different cultures, different things in society. So even this has been a great conversation. I could keep going.
Indeed. Yes, yes, but I'd love to do that.
I know people know why we don't have much time.
Sure.
I love them, but maybe next opportunity you can keep going different topics. I want to check with you with the last questions, like what would be one change, or not the one change, what kind of change you think we need to happen to reduce this kind of stigma or encourage more people from diverse backgrounds, especially refugees, to be who they are and just to share their stories, and also for the society to not put us into those boxes, and maybe it's better to ask us instead of judging somebody. What's your message here? What kind of changes?
I think it should be from the government level itself. I mean, like, you know, the policy should go from the very top top down. But also in that way, I mean, what I'm saying is also about hearing their stories. That's also would contribute to, you know, the mitigate all those factors of labeling refugees. And also, I mean, actively participation in the, you know, the refugee forums, things that will help them to participate, as I said before. Yeah. I mean, just be in the same page. I mean, it's a difficult question, but
I tried. You answered it very well.
Thanks,
to reduce any stigma, we need to participate.
Yes.
We need to have a seat on the table. So that lived experience people can tell them the other side of the story that they are missing.
Yeah.
And I think this way we open conversations.
Mm.
Because I also understand when people start, let's say, judging us on something, because maybe it's first time.
Yeah.
They never hear. They only see what they know from that TV.
Yes.
That kind of story. And always is just the 5 minutes and that's how they make their mind. So I don't judge on these people, because that's what we hold on. But if we have a conversation like this, if we sit and have a coffee and chat, I think that will bring us much, much closer to people, because we will talk about what we like, what we share similarities, what is the difference. That's what might really the experience well. Right?
Yeah. And also other side is also we talk a lot about the Treaty of Waitangi.
Yes.
So I think that from that lens also, if we sort of look at into acknowledging who they are, you know, and bring, as I just said before, participation and, you know, that binds a lot. Treaty of Waitangi binds everyone together. We see in the theoretical, but look at into the practical. Are we doing enough for that? You know, so that's also a big question.
It is a big question, absolutely. Yeah. And it is a big question. We need to have another podcast on it, I think.
Yeah.
That's great. I think coming to the end of this podcast, thank you so much. Maybe if there's any other message you want to share, it's up to you. Mic for you, we have 1 minute.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Quadrin. Again, thanks for inviting me today in this podcast. I think the last message I think through this podcast, what I would like to give everyone and also who is the listeners and the viewers, is also be kind to everyone, accept what you have within yourself as a person, and also don't forget your roots. That's the important thing. And thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and conversation
and
your wisdom to share with us today.
Thanks for having me again.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you have any questions, comments, please write down there, and see you next podcast. Kakite.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.